Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Are you ready for some football? Woo! A Sunday party? All right! Who's ready for the big game today? Oh, man. Come on. Who's ready for the big game today? How many are rooting for the Chiefs? Who thinks the Chiefs are going to win today? All right. Who thinks the Niners? I think the Niners got it. Who thinks the commercials are going to win? Yeah, between neither team deserves to be. No, okay. Yeah, I wonder who I'm rooting for, huh? Hey, it's good to have you this morning here at Radius Church joining us for Jersey Sunday. And I want to welcome everyone in the house. It's good to have you here. If you got your jersey on, wave at me, huh? If you're supporting your team. All right, yes. I know someone's got their rodeo shirt on. They're a rodeo fan. And someone's got a Jack Nicklaus golf shirt on, so they're golf fans. But hey, it's good to have you. I want to welcome our online audience. Welcome today. And we've got a special illustrated message for you called Fanatic. All right, Fanatic. Today, we're going to see several sports fans at the game, as you watch TV, if you watch the game. And here's the thing. The term fan comes from the word fanatic. It comes from the word fanatic. Fan comes from a fanatic. You probably didn't know that, so you learned something today. But here's the thing. There are going to be several genuine fans, but there's outside of the game, there's probably many fake fans. What I mean by that is there are a lot of Swifties who are rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs simply because Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce, the Chiefs star tight end. They're not really Chiefs fans. They're just fans of Taylor Swift, so therefore. There are some, they're not really real Niners fans. They're just rooting against Kansas City. Like probably many of you Bronco fans in here, huh? Yeah, I mean, how can you have a division rival win the Super Bowl again and again? Oh, am I rubbing it in? I'm sorry, I don't mean to rub it in. But yeah, as a division rival, as a Cowboys fan, do you think I can root for the Niners? I mean, I have a hard time doing that. But at the same time, 3 and 5 years, it's just like, man, I want there to be a tie. I wish they could tie the Super Bowl and there'd be no winner, but it doesn't happen that way. But today, I want to talk about the difference between a real fan and a fake fan, and specifically as it talks about being a fan of God. We need to be fans of God. We need to be fanatics for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to talk about what does it mean to be a genuine fan of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be a fake fan. So we've given you in your notes this morning 4 marks of what a genuine fan, what a real fan looks like. So if you've got the Radius Church app, you can take out the digital notes there. Or if you're using the worship program that you received when you walked in, go ahead and take that out. But the first mark, number one, of a genuine fan, a real fan of God, is that they are passionate. They are passionate. That's why I'm wearing this today. Because when you go to a game, a lot of times what do you see? People, they're wearing expensive jerseys. Maybe they have weird hats on. They've got their face painted up. And sometimes they even take it to the next level where they don these elaborate costumes like you see here. I mean, look at those. That took some time to get into those get-ups. I mean, and that's what fans do. Fans, they are passionate, they're zealous, they're demonstrative. They let everybody know that who they're rooting for. And today, as we talk about being a fan of God, I want us to look at a man who I think is probably one of the greatest fans of God, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was passionate. We see this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, when he said, "You have heard of my past career in the Jewish religion." Paul's talking about before he became a follower of Jesus, what his life was like. He said, "How I persecuted the church with fanatical zeal." He was a fan. He was a fanatic. "And in fact, did my best to destroy it. I was ahead of most of my contemporaries in the Jewish religion and had boundless enthusiasm." And friends, when Paul became a Christian, he took that boundless enthusiasm, that fanatical zeal he had, And what he did is he transferred that into his commitment to Jesus Christ. Paul was a fanatic, and you think about it. He went all over Asia and into parts of Europe taking the gospel. He did it at a time when there was no airplanes, there was no vehicles. He has to go by boat, by horse, by foot, and that's, he was radical. He planted the church. This enthusiasm he had before to persecute the church, now because he's a follower of Jesus, there's been a difference in his life. And he talks about that difference in verse 20. This is what he says. All this that I'm telling you is, I assure you before God, the plain truth. Later, I visited districts in Syria and Cilicia, but I was still personally unknown to the churches in Judea. All they knew of me, in fact, was the saying, the man who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they thanked God, look at this, for what had happened to me. Something had happened to Paul. There was a radical life change in him when he became a follower of Jesus. He was not the same person. So as we talk about being a fan of God, we have to look at passion. We're passionate. There is a marked difference about us. We are different today because of what Jesus has done. When I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, there was another youth pastor in town, and he had this saying. He said, if you can't tell the difference, what difference is there? If Jesus Christ hasn't made a difference in your life, then do you really have Jesus? Because when you have Jesus, there should be a difference in your life. Now, you know I am a fan of the Cowboys. That's no secret. And if you take a look in my office, you will see signs I'm a fan. I have subliminal messaging, okay? There is a navy wall on the back and a grayish silver wall on the front. So you're being subtly inundated with Dallas Cowboys. I've got some strategically placed signs on the wall. I'm loyal to my Cowboys. And one my daughter just gave me for Christmas, God first, family second, Dallas football third, okay? I've got a Trayvon Diggs autographed jersey. Someone gave it to me for pastor appreciation. It's hanging on my wall. If you go to the parking lot, you look at my car, you'll notice there's Dallas Cowboy license plate holders. I saw a Patriots one and a Wyoming Cowboys on the way in. When you are a fan, you are marked by your team. You wear the clothing. You put flags outside your house on game day. You maybe have coasters. I've got coasters in my office. You've got cups. You've got different articles of apparel, different things, possessions you own that mark you as being that team's fan. And friends, that's how it should be for us as Christ followers. We should be marked. When people look at us, they know we're fans of Jesus. They don't make any mistake about it. They look at our attitudes and how we respond to crisis, to pressure, to stress, to being offended, to being ridiculed. And do we respond the way the rest of the world does, or do we respond with the love of God, with the faith and confidence in Jesus Christ? Our lives are different. Our language is different. That we don't laugh at and tell the same kind of jokes that we used to laugh and tell at. We don't talk the same way, laugh and partake in the same sexual innuendo in conversations that we used to. When we come to Christ, we are a different person. The way we handle our money and our time is different. The way I treat my wife and my kids is different. The way I treat my friends, my coworkers, my classmates is different than what it was before I came to Christ. It's different than how the world treats it. Jesus makes a difference in us. The Apostle Paul, we talked about this a few weeks ago. He says, we talked about surrender. He said, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You see, these things that we do are not outward actions. They are part of an inward transformation that's taken place, because when we receive Christ, he lives in us, the Spirit of Christ lives in us, and now the Holy Spirit is working out the character of Jesus, the values of Jesus, the priorities of Jesus, and so we are different than we were. And so this morning, if you're taking notes, make sure you get this. Real fans of Jesus Christ, they are different.
passionate. And I'm going to have my lovely assistant, Rebecca, my wife, come up here. And she is going to help me. As we talk about, leave that one on. Well, we'll take it off. We need to be fans of Jesus Christ who are passionate for him. That's the number one thing a real fan does, is a real fan is passionate. Okay, look at number two in your notes. Real fans are also loyal. Real fans are loyal. Real fans are not just passionate and there's a marked difference and there's a change, but it is a lasting change. It doesn't leave when the going gets tough. And that's what this jersey symbolizes that I'm wearing today. You see, when my team is doing good and the white side represents the future is bright, they're doing great, things are bad, it doesn't look dark. Man, I'm rooting for my team. Woohoo, they're great. But then when my team doesn't look so good, the future's bleak, and my quarterback still can't win in the playoffs, and it looks like it's going to be another 25, 30 years before we even get to the Super Bowl, I'm still sticking with my team. I'm loyal to my team. I'm all in whether we're good or whether we're bad. I'm committed. When the going gets tough, I keep going. But there are some people, that's not how they treat their relationship with God. When the going gets tough, they bail. When Christianity, when the faith is no longer beneficial to them, when the faith is not convenient, when it doesn't feel like it's working anymore, then they throw off the jersey, they throw in the towel, and they jump ship. And this morning, I'm going to look at two reasons why fans are disloyal. Number one in your notes is that they're detoured by worldly things. They're detoured by worldly things. And the Apostle Paul, he talked about a fan, a guy who was really going with him, part of his ministry team, going around spreading the gospel, but someone who took a detour by worldly things. We read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." He departed, this guy named Demas, and we're not told what it was in the world that he wanted, but there's many things that can draw us away. Sometimes it's the desire for money, for riches. Maybe it's the desire for power, the desire for pleasure, the desire for comfort. And when anything interferes with that, when Christianity, when the cost gets too high, when they feel like, you know, this isn't working for me, it's not beneficial, I'd rather do something else, that's when people take a detour from the things of this world. Sometimes there's an addiction that people have, and that addiction pulls them back. Or maybe it's the pull of bad friends who are non-Christians, and they hang around them. They haven't formed new relationships, and over time, those friends drag them away. Corinthians talks about how evil company corrupts good habits. I said to my kids when they were growing up, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." Your relationships make an impact on who you're going to follow. And so, are there any things in your life that could detour you, that could pull you away from following Jesus? That's the first thing that makes us disloyal. The second thing that causes disloyalty is, number two in your notes, is disappointed. We're disappointed with God. When the Christian life gets too tough, we experience suffering, we experience pain, we experience a letdown, we feel like God is not living up to his end of the deal, then we throw in the towel. And we see this taking place on another one of Paul's associates who traveled with him on his missionary journey spreading the gospel, a guy by the name of John Mark. We read in Acts chapter 13:13 that when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, which was in the island of Cyprus, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. What had taken place is, if you read the verses before in Acts 13, they're in Cyprus, and a sorcerer confronts Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. And this sorcerer kind of begins to attack them, and we're not told why John Mark leaves, but apparently, maybe he thought, you know, this was going to be great. We're going to see miracles, we're going to spread the gospel, but man, this occult stuff, seeing demons, seeing sorcerers, I don't want any part of that. I don't know if he was afraid or what happened, but John Mark was just disappointed. He left and departed. The good news is that later on, he came back. On the second missionary journey, he said, Barnabas, Paul, I want to go with you guys. And Barnabas says, yeah, you bet, come on. Paul says, no way, Jose. And there is a contention. The two begin to argue. One was for John Mark, one wasn't. John Mark says, I'm ready to be loyal. I'm ready to be loyal. And he went with Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul actually split up. And John Mark was loyal so much that at the end of Paul's life, when he's sitting in prison, writing to Timothy, he says, bring with you John Mark because he's useful to me in ministry. And what that tells me, it doesn't matter where you're at, what you've done, how much you've walked away from God. God is always the God of a second chance. And maybe you're here today and you've walked away from God in the house or you're watching online. I want you to know that if you say, God, I'm sorry, you turn around, you come back and you're passionate and you're loyal, Jesus is waiting with open arms. He'll receive you to fulfill the purpose. We had that message in tongues and interpretation in the service. God has a purpose for us. He has a plan. We're supposed to share his life. That's being passionate and being loyal. And I just want to ask you this morning, where is your loyalty? Some of you, maybe you're suffering today with something physical or something financial. You're in pain. Very few of us are being persecuted, but there are believers all around the world today that are being persecuted. They're in prison for Christ. They've lost their home, their belongings. Some of them, their families have been ripped apart and taken away. Some have been killed for the cause of Christ. They're willing to suffer and die. They're willing to say, God, I'm going to serve you in the good times. I'm going to serve you when it's dark, when it's bleak. I'm going to follow you no matter what. I have known people when God doesn't heal a loved one and they die, they become bitter and they walk away from God because I prayed, I believed God, and he didn't heal them. Do you realize that going to heaven is the ultimate healing? God always heals. He just decides when, where, how, and why. And many times we don't know the whys behind why God does what he does. Why does he let us suffer? Why do we go through difficult times? Man, people say, well, God didn't answer my prayers. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. Okay, here's the thing. When we say, Jesus, you're Lord, and that term Lord means boss, whose way is supposed to be accomplished there? The Lord's way, right? So it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. What gives the most glory? What gives the most honor to him? And you know, and I've been praying, and I even found this morning, I says, God, I want whoever to win the Super Bowl that's going to give you the most glory. Brock Purdy is a great outspoken Christian. And as much as I don't want them to win, if God's going to get greater glory by having him win, and he can go on national TV and say, I give the praise and the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's my Savior, I want them to win. Because it's not about what I want, it's about what he wants. I surrender my life. We've talked about that. As we're pursuing the presence of God in our lives, we live a surrendered life. And so I don't let detours and I don't let disappointments cause me to walk away. And Paul did that. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and see how much pain and suffering Paul experienced in his life. He said, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number. Face death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Can you imagine your ship goes down in a storm? That's what happened when they were on the by Cyprus there. And he spends a whole night in the ocean, in the dark, with the sharks. All right? That's what he's talking about. I have traveled, verse 26, on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I face danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. And there may be some of you, you've been hurt by people who claim to be believers, and it's been hurtful for you. He goes on to say, I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And yet, you know what the Apostle Paul did? He says, I don't care. I'm going to keep following Jesus. I'm going to be loyal in the good times and in the bad times. I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. And as fans of God, fanatics of Jesus, that's what he's asking us to do. To be people that are loyal no matter what happens. When God answers your prayers, you give him the glory and you praise him. When God doesn't answer your prayers, you give him glory and praise him and say, I'm trusting you, you're sovereign, you're working all things together for good. So, let's review. Fans, first of all, are what? They are passionate. Secondly, fans are loyal, okay? Number three in your notes. Take a look at number three this morning. A genuine fan of God is honoring. A genuine fan of God is honoring. I'm wearing a polo shirt, and it represents that I'm honor. Way for that is, think if you're wanting to go to an occasion and you're dressing up, and it's not like a formal thing where it's a suit and tie, but you're not just going to go in your sweatpants and your hoodie or your t-shirt, you know. You're going to dress up a little bit, maybe a button-down or a polo. It just kind of elevates it a little bit. And as fans of Jesus Christ, we need to be honoring and respectful. Maybe you have gone to a sporting event, and it's been out of town, and when you get there, the fans of the home team, they're kind of jerks. How many have ever encountered a situation like that? Yeah, some of you have. I know sometimes you hear about when people go to games at, you know, the NBA or the NFL or the Major League Baseball, sometimes they throw trash or food at them. They give them a beer bath. They call them names. I've even heard of situations where they rip the jerseys right off the other people. Fights, brawls break out. And here's the thing. Fans are representative of their team. When I was in junior high, we had a pretty good basketball team. The high school team was pretty good. And we went to games. And I remember there was this big game in the Sioux Falls Arena. And we're playing, and it was this huge arena, kind of like the event center. And what is happening is our team is playing this team that had won they had been undefeated for 2.5 years in a row. And one of our fans, his name was Mike, he had been going to the games all year long. He was a big fan, but Mike was a jerk. Mike would yell, Mike would scream. He, at this game, he took his shoe off and whammed it on the floor, yelling and screaming. He got us a technical. We won the game, but I tell you, because of Mike, our team, our town, had a bad reputation for being poor sports. And that's what happens when we, as Christ followers, are poor sports and are not honoring and respectful to other people. We need to make sure that we are loving people. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith, I want you to think of this, that can move mountains. Now you could speak to Casper Mountain and it would be gone. But I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, You sell everything you have, and you give your body over to hardship that I may not boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, God wants us to be passionate, and God wants us to be loyal. But I've known Christ followers who are very passionate and they're loyal to God, but this aspect of honoring, loving, and respecting others, they really miss it. They're negative, they're hypocritical, they're judgmental, they're always grumbling and complaining about life, about other people, they're fault-finding. How many of you know someone like that? No, don't point to your neighbor, okay? And there may be some of you here, you've encountered Christians like that, and that's the very reason you haven't been in church in a long time. Or maybe you've never been to church until now, or maybe you're watching us online and you're thinking of someone that I just kind of described, someone who wounded you. They claim to be a follower of Jesus. This morning, I want you to know that if that has happened to you, I'm sorry that happened, because that's not the way Christians should act. And I know some people, when they experience that, they throw God out just because of what his followers have done. Don't do that, because God loves you. The devil wants you to think that it's not worth following God, that Christians are hypocrites, they're negative, they're judgmental, they're jerks. Friends, Jesus loves you so much, he died for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. And as followers of Jesus, we need to be honoring. We need to be loving. We need to be kind. Now, that doesn't mean as believers that we embrace sin and coddle sin and say it's okay. Paul said to the Romans, should we continue to sin once we become Christ followers? And he says, God forbid, no. We don't do that. But if there is someone in the body who is sinning, we're supposed to have a humble attitude, a restorative attitude. Paul said in Galatians 6:1, brothers, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, we don't have a spirit of pride, of harshness, of judgment. It's one of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness that calls people to repentance, and we speak the truth in love. And that's how we witness. As we witness to the world, we speak the truth in love. We don't wham them over the head, you're such a horrible, rotten person. We want to make sure they see the love of Jesus along with the righteousness of Jesus. We need to honor other people. That's the second greatest commandment. The first one is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. And so God is calling us to be passionate, loyal, and honoring. I want you to be thinking this morning, as we're talking about what it means to be a fan of God, where are your levels of passion? Where are your levels of loyalty? And where is your level of honor? Because as we look at those three things, that brings us to our last point, that God wants us not only to be a fan of him, but he wants us to be a friend of God. He wants us to be his friend. Paul talked about this friendship, this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ when he wrote Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. I'm wearing a t-shirt for this one, because you usually wear t-shirts when you're just hanging around the house, taking it easy, maybe just hanging with friends, calling people over, have a barbecue. You're not dressing up, trying to impress someone. You're just comfortable. You're just with them. And friends, that's what God wants us to do with him. He wants us to be comfortable with him, to hang with him, to spend time with him. God desires a friendship with you and me. And you see, our sin separates us from that friendship with God. All of us deserve to die and go to hell. But Paul talked about this friendship is restored by the death of Jesus. God loved you and me so much, he didn't want us to be separated from him for eternity and spend eternity in hell. So he sent Jesus to take the wages of our sin, which is death. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took my sin, your sin, the sin of every single person in the world upon himself. And so for us to come into this friendship with God, we need to receive two things. We need to receive forgiveness. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sin, realizing we can't save ourselves. When I was young growing up, I attended church every week, but the church I went to taught that I was forgiven of sin by being a good person. If I took communion, was baptized, did all these different things the church said, tried to be as good a person, if my good deeds outweighed the bad, then I'd get to heaven. Well, there's one problem with that. How do I know that I've done enough good to compensate for my bad? You don't. You don't know. Besides, how many times a day does the average person sin? What do you think? I heard 10. Anyone else? Gazillion. That's probably a little more than 10. Let's say someone only sins 3 times a day. 3 sins a day after 1 year, 365 days, is over 1,000 sins in a year. Let's say they were good. Some days there's only 1 or 2 sins, or maybe none, and they just had an even 1,000. How long does the average person live? 70 years? Okay, 70, 80 years. That means you've committed 70 to 80,000 sins. Now, the Bible says that God is a judge. He's a righteous, perfect, just judge. What would happen if a criminal was brought before a judge who committed 70,000 crimes against the law? Would the judge be just in pardoning him? No, that criminal deserves a life sentence or a death sentence. One or the other, he or she has no redeeming value. So you see, as you look at our lives, and this is just with 3 sins a day, most of us are going to stand before God with hundreds of thousands, millions of sins in our life that makes us filthy and rotten. Jesus, though, he took all of our sins upon himself when he died. And because of that, when God looks at us, if we say, God, I can't save myself, my good deeds can't do it. Friends, if I could work my way to heaven, Jesus didn't have to die for my sin. And I know when I was growing up thinking I could save myself, God never did seem close. He seemed far away. But when someone told me I've got to receive God's forgiveness, and then the second thing, God's leadership. I mentioned earlier about Lord, the term Lord. Who gets his way? It means God does. As a person, I'm not living for Craig anymore. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. I'm saying, God, what do you want? And as I am saying, you're Lord, I'm going to be passionate for what you want. I'm going to be loyal to you, and I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to honor people. As I'm living a life like that in surrender to God, doing it because Jesus lives in me, I gain a relationship with God. And so this morning, as we talk about being a fan of God and a friend of God, where do you see yourself? What is God saying to you about anything you need to address in your life? Let's pray today. Father God, I thank you right now for your great love for us. I thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. Show us, Lord, of anything that we need to address in our lives. I first want to talk to those of you this morning in the house and those online who are not a friend of God. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've never asked him to become the leader, the boss of your life, and say, God, you're in charge. I want to live for you, not for me. Maybe you've been religious like I was, and you thought you could work your way to heaven, and you didn't really realize that there's nothing that you and I can do to earn our way into God's grace. We just need to confess, realize we have sinned. We can't save ourselves. Jesus died for our sin. We need to surrender our pride and say, God, forgive me, and I want you to lead me. If you're here this morning or you're watching online, I'd really like you right now just to say, Craig, that's me. I want God to forgive me. I want a friendship with God. I want a relationship with him. I want to know him. I want him to be active and involved in my life. Would you just put your hand up this morning? No one looking around. It's a moment between you and God. Anyone in the house, you'd say, I need to be forgiven. Thank you. I see that hand on the side. Anyone else this morning? God speaking to your heart. Thank you. I see that hand on the other side. Anyone else this morning? God speaking to your heart. You can feel him drawing you. He's convicting you right now of things in your life that you need to confess and get right. If you're watching online and God's speaking to you, wherever you're at, just put your hand up in the air. I know we can't see you, but God does. And you're just saying, God, here I am. I want your forgiveness. I want your leadership. Anyone else in the room today, you'd say, that's me. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? You can put your hands down. I now want to talk to the rest of us as we think of these 3 points about being genuine fans of God. I want you to evaluate your passion. As you look at your life, does your life have a marked difference because you're a follower of Jesus? There's a change. Or do you realize there's been some areas of compromise and you need to say, God, forgive me. I need to confess some things in my life. I need to be passionate. I need to change maybe my language, my attitudes, how I've been treating other people. I need to change my relationships. If God's speaking to you, some of you, maybe it's the area of loyalty. Maybe something has happened in your life where you're having a hard time forgiving God. You're blaming God for what happened. You lost a job. You lost a relationship. Someone died. Whatever the situation is, you're being ridiculed. Maybe some of you, you're struggling just with financial pressure, with physical illness in your life. You're under stress and pressure, and you've got some disappointment with God, and your faith is really, really struggling today. Or there might be the others of you, God's spoken to you about your spirit of honor, and that you haven't shown respect and love to people, that God's saying, hey, you shouldn't be so judgmental. You should be more honoring. You should be more kind, more self-controlled, not be so quick with the tongue to lash out. If God's speaking to you about any area that you need to be more passionate, more loyal, or more honoring, I'd like you just to put your hand up in the air today. Just put it up and say, God, help me with this. God, I want you to change me. I want you to make me different. I see several hands up this morning. I want you to stand where you're at today. And I'm going to say this prayer. I would like everyone here to repeat this prayer after me, all right? Father God, I need you. I need your forgiveness and your leadership. I have sinned. Please forgive me. Come into my life and change me. Make me different. Give me passion, a zeal for you that is rivaled by nothing else. Give me loyalty where I will follow you no matter what happens. Help me to be honoring, to love people and respect them the same way you have loved me. Lord Jesus, I want to be your fan, fanatical about you, following after you. Thank you for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.